It's a partnership. Okay? And that's what makes the work of God a blessing. I put it down in a church. All are working on the same ground and committed to the spread of the gospel and the work of God. Okay? So the degree of fellowship you're going to have in a church is in a great way relegated to your commitment, your partnership to spreading the gospel. Okay? And when, you know, a person gets away from the Lord or they get disgruntled and you go to visit them, they say, your church. They might be a member of the church, but now they say, your church. It's not our church. Okay? And, you know, that's a good checkup, isn't it? That's a good checkup to your soul. Do you say, that's what they're doing? Or do you say, that's what we're doing? Okay? And so it's the idea of common. All right? That's a great truth in the Scripture. And we live in Catholic Lutheran country. And for them, church membership is a name on a roll. To them, church membership is something that you are. It's not something you do. It's a huge difference. And, okay, so partnership. That's sweet fellowship. Okay? Let's go back to 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Son and with His, with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay, maybe we want to call this, we'll call this, not that the other isn't, intimate spiritual fellowship. And again, the emphasis is what? We'll erase this for a minute. Here's God, and God's on holy ground. Right? So when God meets man, what does He say? Take off your shoes, for you're in holy ground. Right? Okay, you're going to meet God on His ground. All right? And so, here we have God, we have the apostles. They're walking on the same ground. Right? And that ground is light. Truth purity, obedience. That's common ground. Okay? Let's look at a couple places here. 1 John 2. Verse 19. Here is truth. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Okay, we live in a day in which some of you probably aren't old enough for the Bible study movement. Anybody remember the Bible study movement? Everybody was having Bible studies. Okay? And there's different movements out there. It's called the Bible study movement. And in the Bible study movement, there was one rule. We don't discuss doctrine. Anybody remember that movement? Okay.
What was that?
Huh?
What was it?
That was in the 70s, early 80s. Yeah.
I think in some of the liberal movements it's still going. I mean, like, there's a certain branch of the church that they all have the same program. My cousin goes to a Reformed church. You know, she wanted to make sure she found a church that had that Bible study.
Mm-hmm. So it's still some of it's still going on, but this was more kind of a broad movement. There was all sorts of Bible study movements, and the key is people would be getting together and they'd be studying the Bible, and the thing was, we don't discuss doctrine. We just love Jesus. That was the message. We just all love Jesus, but we don't discuss doctrine. Okay, well, 1 John is written to say, okay, here's God, and us apostles, we're in fellowship with God, and we want you to have fellowship with us. And if you're going to have fellowship with us, you're going to have the right doctrine. Because if you don't have the right doctrine, you can't walk on the same ground that we do. And so, it's not merely people having doctrine in common with one another. The true identity is correct doctrine. Because that produces fellowship with God. Okay? People can have fellowship with one another, quote unquote fellowship, because they're walking on the same ground doctrinally. But that's not what it's talking about here, is it? It's talking about, hey, to have fellowship with God, you have to walk on His ground. Okay? Now, again, we have this whole thinking today is it doesn't matter what you believe. We just went over that with the prophecy, right? It doesn't really matter what you believe, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, amill, millennialist, whatever, dispensationalist, covenant. There's really, it doesn't matter. And yet the Bible is saying, wait a minute, no. Real fellowship is walking on the same ground, and that ground is truth, is in the ground of truth that God has revealed in His Word. Okay? And so no matter what men may say, okay, their fellowship is based on God and truth. And the walking on the same ground, okay? So, in this sense, there is, okay, let's look at 1 John 2. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All right, and so this whole passage here is talking about obedience. Okay. Today, again, obedience is unimportant. In fact, obedience is relegated to what? What's obedience relegated to in this day? Oh yeah, you're a conformist. You're a conformist. That means, you know, you're... what they mean by that is you're having other people tell you what to do. Okay? Or they could say you're a legalist. Okay? And what they mean by that is that you don't obey because you want to, or it doesn't come from your heart. You just obey because somehow you're in a wooden structure, and that's all you know how to do. Okay? But the theme of the day is, well, you know, if you feel like it, obey. Because that's who you really are. But is that fellowship? It's not fellowship, is it? You know, that's... what that is, you know what that's called? Mysticism. Mysticism. And we have a definition of what fellowship is, and today we live in a world of mysticism, that fellowship is based on how you perceive or how you feel. Right? And, of course, we're just going back over the whole thing. And so fellowship now is all about feel good. That's fellowship. Yes.
I visited my sister-in-law's church yesterday, and what you're talking about is exactly what's going on in that church. Anytime the pastor would pray, they actually have music in the background creating this beautiful, kind of stuff. It's disgusting. I was shocked. Mm-hmm.
It's about men, isn't it? Yeah. In fact, I remember John R. Rice one time. And this is really so opposite of many people who claim John R. Rice. I was in a meeting, and John R. Rice was preaching, and the invitation was being given. And somebody was at the piano or the organ playing soft music, you know. And he says, no music! What was he saying? I don't want people to be manipulated by the music. I don't want any music. You know? You're doing business with God. You know? This is cold hard turkey stuff. You know, and it's really amazing the evolution of of people even today who would claim John R. Rice as one of their, you know, heroes of the faith, and yet they don't even have any idea of what he was like. He understood this principle, you know, no music. I want this to be a real invitation. I don't want people to be manipulated. So he could see the old-fashioned guys, they understood this whole issue of fellowship isn't, you know, this tingly, feely stuff. So, now notice verse 4. And these things of chapter 1, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. What's it saying? Fellowship with God produces what? True joy. I was listening to a tape by Leonard Ravenhill, and it was interesting what he said. I'm not going to quote him correctly, but he said, entertainment is the world's substitute for a lack of joy. Lack of fellowship with God is evidenced by the entertainment realm. Okay, and think about it. Okay, so you know when we're leaving church and we're anxious to go watch the Packer game, what's that telling us? This hunger for entertainment is in many cases a what? It is a revelation of the lack of contentment that comes with the joy of the Lord, because people's souls are looking for something to satisfy them, isn't it? Yes.
The candlelight service opened up with three heavy metal band, full galore, lights, music, video, singing Christmas songs. And that was the entertainment that kept people there for the short sermon. And the candlelight part of it, I've never been to anything like this, I just stood there in shock, was rock and roll, Silent Night, passing the light and candles. And there was no altar call, no anything. But the pastor at the very end read a prayer for, you know, big sinners. And if they wanted to, you know, accept Christ to be their Lord and Savior, on their way out, they could pick up a gift outside with the Bible and a message from him on tape. They just did it.
So what was the lighting of the candles?
Oh, that was a candlelight service.
Did they pass a candle around and you...
Everybody got one whenever you walked in.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be, you know, I didn't know what it was. I've never done candles before.
Yeah.
And
what'd you do with the candles?
Everybody, I guess you call them the ushers or whatever, started the candle on one end, and while everyone was singing the Silent Night, they lit their candle and it just went all the way through the auditorium. That was it. And then at the end of the song, you blew your candle out.
Sounds like a lot of wax cleanup to me. Burnt down church. You know what? I think it's a little bit of, again, when I think of something like that, in the world, that's what they do. Yeah. That's, I call it another form of mysticism. I went to a scary kind of funeral once, It was one of those scary ones, you know, with kind of scary kind of people and who did scary kind of stuff. And the thing to do was everybody was supposed to have a candle at the gravesite. You know, again, I just call that a little bit of mysticism. And creates an atmosphere that, you know, whatever. It's producing a new God. That's really what it is. Okay? So, the fellowship is based on truth. Now, so, if God is here, what does man have to do? Man has to get up to God's level. Okay? And the false thinking of today, really kind of evidenced by this rock music and all this stuff, is okay, let's bring God down to man's level. Okay? So, in the consumer church, okay, you have church on Saturday night so that you don't have to worry about being in God's house on Sunday. Because Sunday makes your life constricted, right? You know? You don't want to constrict your life for God. Or if you're really into it, you can be a Lutheran and you can go to church on Thursday night. That way you can have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday without any interference from God. Okay? Now, you think about that, we kind of laugh about that, but, you know, there, mentally and spiritually, there is a big step for a Christian who's been saved out of the world. There's a big step for a Christian when they go on vacation to think of church not as an interference. But that you know, God is still the center of my life. It doesn't matter where I am, He's still going to be the center of my life. I'm not the center of my life. God is the center of my life. Right? Isn't that what worship is? God is the center of my life. And, you know, for a baby Christian, there's a lot of growth has to take place in their mind to be able to say, okay, going to church on Sunday isn't an interference. It isn't messing up the schedule. It isn't you know, making my plans difficult. Right? And there's, again, there is this whole concept of what does it take to get man to get to where God is? And that's called a conversion of the thinking. And that's what it's saying, 1 John is all about. Here are the truths. This is the ground that God is on. Okay, if you're going to have joy, walk on that ground. And if you're not walking on that ground, don't deceive yourself. Now what it says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay? So let's go to this last one. I'm going to call this three, I don't know what else to say, call it mutually exclusive fellowship. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, now, If you see the picture here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So if God is on this ground, and you decide to walk with the ground of darkness, what two truths are true or more? Number one, you can't do it as a Christian. You can't do it without losing fellowship with who? God. You can't do it without losing fellowship with God. So, to walk, to have fellowship, to walk on the same ground as the works of darkness, it tells us either you are losing fellowship with God, or what? You haven't been having fellowship with God. Right? Okay. So, an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Okay? So let's put it, a lot of parents are here. If your child doesn't have a problem fellowshipping with people who aren't really in fellowship with God, what does that tell us about your child? Huh? They're not in fellowship with God. It may also tell you that they don't know what fellowship with God really is. If they can walk with someone who's not walking with God and feel comfortable, well, it may be well that they don't even understand what fellowship is. Okay? You know, a lot of people today, they have the idea that fellowship is, oh, they say they're a Christian. They say they love God. No, you know, that's not true. You know, fellowship is reality. What ground are you really walking on? Okay, now notice what it says in Ephesians 5. It says, trying to get there. Trumpet solo going on here. It says, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For what doth ever make manifest is light. Okay, here's God's ground. All right? So what happens if you're walking in this dark world? What's going to happen? The light is going to convict the ones in darkness. Okay, let's put it in practical terms. Okay? I can relate this better by talking about teenagers, because then you don't have to take it personally. Okay? A teenager can have right kind of friends or wrong kind of friends. The wrong kind of friends are the friends that they can talk about the wrong things around comfortably. The right kind of friends are the people they wouldn't dare talk about certain things around them. They wouldn't. Because iron sharpens iron. The right kind of friend is characterized by light, and you wouldn't feel comfortable saying the wrong kind of things around them. the wrong kind of friend, your guard is down and you can talk about whatever. You know, so it's interesting talking to kids, you know. You always, you know, when someone is talking to someone and they talk about, oh, let's just say they talk about a movie they watched. Well, what does that tell you? Well, the person they're telling it to, they probably wouldn't mind watching it themselves. Right? I remember one time Hannah was at, when she was at Maranatha, we had some kids from our church there, and they were talking, and Hannah came up to them and was approaching them, and they said, oh, we better stop, we don't want Hannah to hear this. Kind of revelational, wasn't it? And so we find this whole principle of there is mutually exclusive fellowship. Our fellowship with God is a light that brings conviction. Okay? And a person who's having fellowship with God, they're going to have to lose having fellowship with God if they're going to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And on the other hand, if they would want to participate in these things, what does that tell you? They aren't having fellowship with God. So I think kind of as a conclusion of this whole principle of fellowship, I think that a lot of people don't understand what fellowship is. A lot of people don't understand what fellowship is. And I think that sometimes people let the cat out of the bag when they say, not always, but sometimes they'll say, well, what's wrong with that? When you say that, that can be a revelation of, wait a minute, that person doesn't really understand what it means to have fellowship with God. Now, that could be an honest question, but in some cases, you know what I mean. What's wrong with that? You know what I mean? It's different than, well, what is wrong with that? Same words, right? But the two phrases, the inflection reveals where they're at spiritually. One is saying, I want to know. The other person says, come on. Reveals the whole principle of fellowship. Okay. Time is up. I hope that we've gotten a good concept of what the word fellowship means. And what that concept is of walking on the same ground as God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that in your grace we can have fellowship with you. And I pray that these great truths of what it means to have fellowship with you, Lord, I pray that they would certainly do a work in our lives to be those who understand and desire to have fellowship with you and walk in your ground. In Jesus' name, amen.